Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Rename Beloved podcast. Today, we have a special episode for you. Mm-hmm. So following up on our testimonies and just getting a little more personal with everyone, sharing a little bit more of ourselves, humanizing a bit. Today, we're doing a get to know you questions.
Q&A.
Yeah, Q&A. Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
Q&A. Q and A. Sometimes I just feel like all I have is Q.
Yeah.
Q's.
Sometimes it's all Q's.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But we should have the answers to these because they're just like going to be about us, kind of get to know us, and we're just going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Meridia and I have recorded quite a bit today, and we just wanted to sit down and just kind of have fun. I mean, we do this, but we're also just best friends at the end of the day. We like to spend time together and chat and laugh. And so we wanted to invite you into that with us today. Yeah. For anybody who's watching, maybe you've seen a couple of our other videos or listened to our podcast and you might not have checked out our testimonies yet, feel free to go do that. You can really get to know us there. But we also just want to kind of get to know our audience a little bit more in this setting, and maybe we'll get to know more about each other. Do you think that? I think we will.
I'm sure.
I'm always getting to know more about you. So we're just going to kind of have fun with it. And, you know, if you have any questions for us, list them down below. We'll come back and answer them from you guys, too. We'd love to do that. But I thought this would be a good. We're kind of like breaking the ice once again.
Absolutely.
With the internet. If you were an ice cream flavor, what would you be?
What ice cream flavor do I want to be, or what ice cream flavor am I?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm going to leave it up to you to interpret the question.
Okay. Gosh, what a question. I'm like a Rocky Road ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got a little bit of pretzel bits in there. You got some caramel going on. You got some chocolate. Like, you have a mix of flavors.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
I'm sorry, I can't help but think that, like, what drives on the rocky road is the struggle bus. I'm sorry. I don't mean that at you. It's just, like, I was thinking of a road.
No, at me.
I do like Rocky Road, though.
Rocky Road's a good ice cream.
It is a good one. I knew you didn't ask, but if I had to be a flavor, I was thinking about it, I'd be butter pecan. You know why? Because I feel like butter's like savory, a little bit fattening, but then you got your pecans in there. It's like a little bit salty.
Right.
But still, it's like a good combination.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit crunchy. And honestly, I do just love butter pecan.
My dad's favorite ice cream.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
My mom always liked that one. And as a kid, I didn't get it. I was just like, you don't want the chocolate. You don't want the whatever. Actually, cotton candy ice cream was one of my favorites growing up. But as far as my personality, I think I would want to be butter pecan. Reliable, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But I do love Rocky Road. That's the one with the nuts in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because then the Moose Tracks is the one with the peanut butter cups.
Yes.
Okay. That's what Quentin likes. Okay. Do you have a question for me? Should we go back and forth? Or?
Yeah, let's go back and forth.
Okay.
What is the kindest thing anyone has ever done for you?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
It is a hard question.
You know, but I think I'm thinking in terms of like, not like kind as in like generous and money and stuff like that. I think one of the kindest things that I've experienced was in my clinical pastoral education program, where it was an environment where people were like gently pushing you to be real and vulnerable, but also like such like a warm and genuinely caring environment at the same time. Like, think of it as like a group therapy on steroids. That is some of the kindest encounters that were also some of the toughest encounters that allowed me to just get to know myself a little bit better and be a better, be more effective in my interactions with patients and stuff like that in the hospital. So in a weird way, looking back, those were some of the most kind gestures that I've experienced. Cause it's really hard to give people feedback.
It is.
But it's like one of the kindest things that you can do. And my supervisors were just really great and like genuinely caring people.
Yeah.
So I think that would be me. the kindest thing. Yeah, because it's also just such a, like, an enduring gift.
Yeah, so, it is.
Yeah. What about you?
It is a hard question. I've had so many acts of kindness. But here's one of my favorites. So when my mom died, the year before I had played basketball, but the year she died, I opted not to. And that ended up working out. But when she died, I remember the whole basketball team called me and they were like really emotional. But the next year I was on the basketball team. And so on the anniversary of my mom's death, we had a game. And I remember, I think Michaela Severns gave it to me. You were on that team though. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 5-pound chocolate heart. Mm-hmm. It was so, I mean, I had it for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, obviously, when I think of like kind, it was moving. I remember being, and still am, profoundly moved by that. Hmm. I just think it was so thoughtful and so considerate. And at that time, I was really trying to shove things down, but it made me be present with it in that moment and on that day. And I wasn't alone either. Mm-hmm. I was surrounded by people who I loved and enjoyed being around. So that was really special.
Wow, I forgot about that. But as you're talking about it, I remember now.
Yeah, it was so sweet. Hmm. Wow. It was so sweet. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For sharing that. I want to ask this one because I think it's fun. Are you the same person in real life as you are on social media? Why or why not? Like, I know you're the same person, but let's talk about this one. I think it's kind of fun, especially since we are, like, going to put this on social media.
I think that it depends on what you mean by the same person. Yes. In general, I would say I'm pretty, I'm not a two-faced person. Mm-hmm. It's not like my brother knows an entirely different person than you do or anything like that. But there are human complexities to how we present ourselves.
Yeah.
And human complexities to, like, what we're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I have been called mean before. I'm very blunt. And when I, like, if you were to ask me my opinion, I'm not the most emotional in the way that I think. Even though I'm a super emotional person, like a cry, you know, I'd be crying.
There's one thing about me.
Yeah, but first I'm a cry. Like, but also though, people don't know me as that, like, publicly. And right. That's not because I don't want people to know. Mm-hmm. It's because I just don't feel comfortable. It's pretty, you know that meme of, like, Leslie Knope's? No. It's probably Michael Scott in The Office. And someone's crying and he, like, takes a broom and he's like, there. Like, I think that encapsulates, like, to a certain degree, how we all feel when, like, people we don't know that well, mm-hmm. People we aren't really that familiar with are, like, really weepy out in public. Mm-hmm. So I think it makes me, I don't know what to do, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't really like to put that on people. And then, you know, there's a certain subsect of people who believe that we're our worst moments. I don't believe that. Like,
what do you mean? Like,
say like Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. So Bill Cosby is a rapist, a womanizer at the very least. But is that all Bill Cosby is? Hmm. No, okay. It's not. is Bill Cosby still the warm, pleasant memories that, like, the cast of the Cosby Show, like, they all came out to defend him, right? Oh, Bill's great. And that can be true. People can be monstrous in one sense and then polite in other senses, like, you know, I don't care to be woken up much, especially, like, shortly after I've been trying to go to sleep. I can be mean. But is that who I really am? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even do that if my mind was, my faculties were all the way there. And I'm not so bad anymore, but, like, you know, I used to be real mean. So,
yes,
but no.
Yeah.
But, like, it's impossible to know anyone from a blush or right. a glance at them. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you answer that?
Well, there's definitely, I think what you're trying to say, if I understand correctly, you have like a filter and you're very conscious of what that filter is, what mm-hmm. what it contains and what is allowed to go through it for social media. One of my criticisms of social media is that not enough people do, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I say this as someone like very aware that we are here oftentimes talking about our impressions of things and our, or sometimes just straight up opinions on things. However, I am of the firm position, just if I may, that we are not designed to be to have access to that many people's opinions so often. We were not wired to be able to handle that. I believe this. So I think it does something weird to us. At least it did something weird to me on social media. So there for a while, I felt like I'll just use this and like share funny things, but like I've never been the type of person to share super personal stuff on social media.
Right.
Like next to never. I think the most personal I've gotten is sharing a photo of myself, quite frankly. I mean, except for the Facebook memories. The Facebook memories haunt me.
I know.
Because I used to be in high school, I used to be like putting stuff on there and it's just embarrassing. But I would say I'm definitely the same person on social media. I'm just a very like pared down version of me. Like I am very, very intentional about what I put on social media now. And quite frankly, I use it mostly to kind of get more of the Rename Beloved content out there. Or, but one of the things I'll just mention this, cause I really struggle with this with social media. Even still, I wasn't on social media until last fall when we started talking about doing the podcast. And the reason that I wasn't on social media, one of the main reasons, was that I was quite frankly super overwhelmed with the like information I was getting, the people's like interactions and the things that you're reading, just like everybody's opinions. And like there's always just so much going on in social media. It was overwhelming to me. And I found myself just like miserable in comparing my life, comparing myself to what I'm seeing. And I know this is like not a unique new thing. We're very aware of how like the negative effects of social media, especially on young girls. But I found myself being so unhappy every time I was scrolling through Facebook or something like that. I was just constantly comparing myself to other people. So anyway, and then I realized I was like, you know what? I don't like the version of myself that this turns me into. Like I like the real me a lot better anyway. And so I don't know anybody who would honestly answer that question and say that they weren't the same person. But I guess it just gave us an opportunity to talk a little bit more about how we use social media, because there are some people putting way too much on social media. We are not those people, but I don't think that makes us fake in particular, because like I don't really post much at all.
I also am not much of a poster on social media. And yeah, I think it's impossible to like know someone entirely without like having multiple interactions with them and multiple settings, and it's all, I mean, people are complicated.
I do think, I'll say this, if anything, the version of me that does get put on social media is like so like second and third draft of what goes on in my life. Like I overthink things that I even repost on social media, to the point that I'm probably less genuine and vulnerable on social media than I am in real life by far, because, but I will say, I think one of the strengths of social media is that it normalizes certain like experiences that maybe people otherwise might keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. It gives people an opportunity to like be vulnerable and have connection over certain things that they may otherwise deal with on their own. But I don't find myself, it's weird because like, sometimes I feel guilty about it, but like in real life, I feel like I'm the type of person who wants to hear about people's problems. But quite frankly, a lot of times on social media, I get so overwhelmed that I'm just like, I can't even like comment. Like the most I can do is like send the little care response, a little love emoji or whatever. So if anything, I feel more detached from people on social media and less authentic in that way.
I think 100% so, because I mean, you know, like, like probably the most personal thing that I've shared recently on social media is like the passing of my father. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you've ever had someone die in your life, my phone was full of texts. My social media was full of comments and reactions and like all the things. I can't get to it all. Mm-hmm. Especially like I'm not a big on my phone type of person now. Like, I could easily leave my phone somewhere and be gone for like several hours. Yeah, I do. I literally do that. I don't like to like always be. I really hate texting, actually. So all of that is just like overwhelming. So yeah, no one. I mean, I'm not authentic. It's not like you would encounter. You'd be shocked or like I don't have any filters on my pictures. Like I really look like this. Like, you know, like I really believe all the things I post, I really think all the things I think, mm-hmm. or say that I think, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, social media is a really weird landscape.
It is. I was just thinking how like it's a really good tool in its best, like most ideal circumstances. But like, oh, Lanta, we could talk for a long time about the downfalls. I.
Yeah, they're numerous.
They are.
But. To say the least. So, a Bible question. Which biblical person do you relate to the most?
Ooh. I'm trying to think of, like, everyone that pops into my mind, I'm like, humble yourself, Marge. Like, I don't. Let me think about this for a second. So, here lately, I have been thinking about this scenario with Moses. I just got done reading through the book of Exodus, and it's in Exodus 17 where the people of Israel are fighting with, is it Amalek? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Israel's fighting with Amalek, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek with his people with the sword. I was thinking about that a lot the other day, and I feel like right now I resonate a lot with that, because I just feel like that's a beautiful depiction of, obviously, God is using Moses throughout the entire story of Exodus. And even in this moment, God is like supernaturally using Moses, his faith, and also the staff that Moses is holding up. So it's not that God couldn't defeat Amalek on his own, like without any human interference or involvement or intervention. But God has chosen to use Moses in this way. But Moses is still limited with his humanity, with his age, maybe with his lack of built triceps and biceps. Like maybe his deltoids were like a little weak. I don't know. I can relate. But I just think about how God chooses to use us even in our human weakness, like whether that's physical, whether that's spiritual at times, honestly, whether that's emotional at times. But what's beautiful about this as well is that he has people come and help him hold his arms up. And I just think that that's a beautiful display of the interdependence that we have on one another, that, you know, I don't know. It's just beautiful to me, like, because Moses was out there doing what God had told him to do, but he needed help. Mm-hmm. He needed help, and he, you know, mm-hmm. he didn't give up though. Like he recruited help. The people around him saw that he needed help, and so they helped him. And ultimately, you know, God's vision and plan was not thwarted because of Moses's humanity. So I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking about it in relationship to the podcast, honestly. Like, this is obviously a team effort. So I feel like where I am weak, you're strong for me, you know, where I may be able to do something if you're a little bit busier. It's like just how it's a display of how together we can accomplish what God has set out for us. And, you know, we're human. We need help. We need to, like, speak our needs. Like, we were just talking about that. So anyway, that's fresh on my mind. And I resonate a lot with that because Moses was very, very powerful man of God. He was indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but yet he grew weary physically because, you know, he was limited. So I'm curious to hear from you. What Bible character do you relate to the most?
I think that's really hard. I think, yeah, the characters in the Bible are heroes of the faith, not just everyday ordinary saints. But when I first started my walk with God, I really wanted to be like Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. I would sum up one of the two major themes I would take from the book of Ruth: God's providence and loyal love. Ruth exemplifies loyal love so beautifully. And I've said this before, but I'm sorry. I'm just not going to be able to talk about Ruth and not read this. It's just not going to be able to happen. So, you know, the story of Ruth is like her husband died, but she's got this mother-in-law whose husband and both of her sons die. And they're at the time of Jewish exile. They're in Moab. But now they're getting ready to go back to Israel. And the thing about that is it's really hard to be a widow at those times. Mm-hmm. Women are less able to provide for themselves. There's not the technological means that we have now where women are able to work with their minds, things like that, as much. Obviously, Proverbs 31 tells us it was happening, certainly. But on the level, it was just harder for the average woman to make a living for herself. So it was very hard to be a widow in Israel at the time. And Naomi is urging them to leave her. Let her go back alone. They go back to their families. She's like, I don't have any more husbands to offer you, and it's going to be hard out here. So she's trying to get Ruth to go away. But Ruth says, this is chapter 1, verse 16. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following them. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death parts you and me. I just think that's so beautiful and such a picture of sacrificial love. It kind of connects for me because my dad got quite sick. My dad went blind suddenly and needed someone to take care of him. And it was hard because I was like 25. I had just broken my engagement. So anyways, getting married was something on my agenda. And I thought it would be happening soon. It's very hard to, like, I lived 6 hours from my dad. So it could be like a every other weekend, all weekend, I'm gone. So I'm like home 2 weekends out of the month. I'm very busy. Like, my time's like really ate up by this. So it's hard for me to date, impossible for me to date, and do other things like that. But I know that the Lord has commanded us as Christians to take care of our sick parents. So I'm not saying that I'm Ruth, because Ruth goes further than I went, even. She certainly went further than I went and really laid down her life. But Ruth is one of those funny books in the Bible where, it's not actually. But it's I was going to say, because, like, you know, Esther, in the book of Esther, God's not mentioned, but he is mentioned here. But it's not a book that's like, and then God did this, and then it's not like Exodus, where it's like, and then the Lord, and then the Lord, and then the Lord. It's just like this story being told. God is there in the midst. He's obviously a driving factor for them. And God does this incredible, beautiful, I love the picture of Christ that Boaz is. And just her loyalness, her faithfulness, the fact that she was just genuinely a woman of God. And she really wasn't very glamorous. She's not Queen Esther at all. So I want to be Ruth, but sometimes I'm like, Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful. So, yeah, but I love the heart of Ruth, and she's probably, for me, the Bible character that I have attempted to mold myself most after.
That's beautiful. I can definitely see that. And I witnessed too just how you did lay your life for a time, at least big parts of it, aside to care for your dad.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really tough question.
It is.
I know you love Ruth, and I feel like there are so many parallels there, and it's such an encouragement, I feel like, hopefully. But I was going to say, that question, I've been asked that question before, obviously, and I feel like I answer it differently every time.
Kind of depends on what season.
Yeah, maybe it's just because that's what I've, like, read most recently, or what's, like, but I just think it's...
It was on your heart when we started the podcast, too, though. That's what you're saying, like...
Yeah, when God tells Moses, like, he's going to go and he's going to tell the people, and he's like, asks him, like,
please, Lord, send someone
else. He's like, really? Please? Can't you send somebody else? He's like, fine, I'll send Aaron with you. Like, I related to that so hard.
And here we are.
Here we are. I was very resistant. Just a fun fact for those of you who don't know, which none of you do because we haven't said this. Meridia wanted to do the podcast. Like, we both wanted to do the podcast for a long time. Mm-hmm. And actually, speaking of social media, like 6 years ago, I had made a status about how people had said something about starting a podcast to me. And it was like kind of funny then. And I was like, oh, maybe one day. But it's been 6 years ago now. So we finally took the leap of faith, and here we are. But last summer, as we were planning, Meridia's like, there's just nothing else that'd be worth my time than to talk about Jesus. And I was like, I love Jesus, but I don't think I want to do that right now. And so I was really not convinced, honestly, at first. I was just like, I don't know. And the Lord really worked on my heart for a while. And I was like, you know what? That's what we're doing. That's what we need to do. But I'm just grateful for you, too, for your persistence and determination and, like, being clear on what the Lord had called you to do, because I wasn't on board at first.
I'm so grateful that you wanted to start the podcast, because I was like over here. I have, like, it's so funny. I have, like, a phone in my room of, like, all these little videos of me trying to get my testimony out, like, fighting for my life to get my testimony out, because God, it must have been around Easter. It was, like, right after I read The Crucifixion of the King of Glory. It was Easter. He was like, you need to post your testimony now. And I was like, about what, Lord? It's not... I cannot wait to share with you all. In my testimony video, I talked up to, like, my life until salvation. I cannot wait to eventually share with you all my testimony from salvation to the promise that me and God have talked about.
Yeah.
It's been wild. It has been so wild. And I'm like, Lord, I can't testify about it yet because I am way too confused in the midst of it. Yeah. But at the end, I'm so excited to share that with everyone. But yeah. Like, I was really struggling trying to do something by myself. And, you know, like, I write things, but I have a really hard time sharing them, because even the things that I say, I'm glad that you, like, Maggie's our editor, which I'm so glad. I'd probably call Maggie if it was, like, just me in my house, and I'd be like, we need to do the whole episode over.
Like, no.
Like, so it's just been beautiful. And yeah, the story of Moses and Aaron, like, going out to lead the Exodus together was such an encouragement to me too, because I never imagined me being like Moses in that moment. But yeah, it's just great how it all worked out.
And that's the passage that I felt like convicted me, because I was like, oh, like Moses really is resisting what God is telling him to do. And he's like, fine, I know, I'll send Aaron with you. That's fine. And we used to tell people we were twins. We went to church together one time. That would have been like, what, 2008?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And we dressed and we got the same outfit. It wasn't Easter, was it? It was like a spring break time of year, though.
It must have been 2010, yeah. And it was around Easter because my mom was dead. That's why I say that. But like, yes.
And we went to church together and we had the same outfit on. And we told everybody we were twins. And like, then we would, obviously we weren't, but you never know.
Obviously. That's what makes true. You say that?
Well, because you, they knew your family and, you know, your grandma. But we would tell people that didn't know us that we were twins. And I know you're not supposed to lie, but it was fun because people, we would just tell people that because we spent so much time together that it did feel like we are sisters. And
you do feel like more a sister than a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And so anyway, Moses, Aaron, Meridia, Maggie, we're not comparing ourselves to them, but at the same, there's parallels there that are undeniable, at least from my experience, my resistance, and then God being like, you know what, you're not doing it alone, so stop complaining, but you're going.
And I feel like the stories in the Bible are there because people can relate to them. That's the whole point of them being there.
Yeah.
So no, we're not saying we're going to, but you know.
What if somebody said they relate most to Jesus? That would be horrible.
Dude. But people really do claim to be Jesus.
So. I know. I'm laughing because it makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
Okay. Do you want to do like one more question?
Let's do that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Ooh, this is a good one. What song is currently stuck in your head or just like that you've been singing to yourself a lot or listening to a lot?
It's called Here by Antoine Bradford, like in parentheses next to it. It's called Voice Memo. It's been a little bit less because I'm feeling a little bit happier. But it just kind of talks about how I've had my share of trials. I've had my share of doubts, but you see straight through the fog, even the dead of night, nothing in all creation hides from your sight. And you say, child, let go of your fear because the fire makes gold of your tears. I know you're hurting. I know you're scared, but trust in the promise that I will be there. I really like that song.
Yeah.
And it's a little, you know, when I'm feeling like down in spirit, I always try and put on the garment of praise and remember that I'm getting to a place in my faith walk where I need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we just have to walk. Mm-hmm. And there's no running. Yeah. It's dark. I have no idea how long the corridor is. But I'm so grateful that God is with me. And it's okay. What do I have to fear? My soul is saved. Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite song right now?
Right now, it's got to still be Gyra by Maverick City. I love that song. I listen to the version of it that's like 10 minutes or 11 minutes long. And I just let it keep playing because I love that song. For me, I feel like it's, first of all, it's just beautiful. I love how there's the two lead singers, the male and female, but then there's like the choir that comes in, and it's just such a beautiful, beautiful rendition of that song in particular. But the message too, you know, as I've started the podcast, you know, there's been like some changes with my job and different changes in my life that I've just had to trust that God would provide doors to be opened and you know, needs to be met, and God always has done that. And that I realized, like, God has always done that. Mm-hmm. Always. Like, we're not wealthy, but I've never gone without. And so, like, I just think how much God has provided and always has, always will. And I know that. And so there's just such a comfort in that. So that is my go-to praise and worship song right now. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful, honestly. I'm just like, I feel like when it comes to worship music, the gift of singing is something obviously God has given to people. But there's something about when people use their gift to worship their creator, those gifts just are magnified. You know what I mean? And that's how I feel about that song in particular. Like, of course, there's several examples, but I just, that song just does something to me where it just makes me, gets me all pumped up in the name of Jesus. I'm like, yes. Like, all these, like, so many voices lifting their you know, their songs of praise. So I just love that.
I do too.
Yeah. And I think we, it's okay if we just do one more?
Yes.
Okay. So last question for you today for us. If you could have a conversation with one person in the Bible, not Jesus, who would it be and why?
The Father. No.
The Holy Spirit.
Wow. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I need to think about it too. Maybe talk to Adam and Eve and tell them don't do it.
Yes to that. Yeah. Absolutely yes to that.
Like, come and just smack
them. Yeah.
Just smack the apple.
Smack the apple out of your hand.
Like, where did you come from? What's Columbia?
Bring a chainsaw. Hack the whole tree down. I'm taking this with me. Like, burn it. James. Mm-hmm. James, the brother of Jesus. Let me qualify. There's a few James. Because to me, when I first came back to my faith, and in the New Testament, James was my favorite epistle. I love how straightforward James is and direct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do I want to talk to Paul? Yes. But we have a lot of Paul talking, the most of Paul already talking. Mm-hmm. So I think I would choose James because I think there's so much wisdom. I consider James like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's like these little power punch, like quick.
He doesn't waste any paper, ink.
Not at all.
To the point.
Yeah. It's really good. So I think he'd be a great person to talk to and ask questions just because in his experience of living with Jesus, I have so many questions like not recorded in the scripture. I always imagine that Jesus must have come to Mary and his like brothers and sisters, because Jude is also another half brother of Jesus, or brother, you know, is he also writes an epistle, and then the scriptures say that Mary would be the mother of all Mary, or the mother of all mothers, and so she's got three children prominently featured in the New Testament, which. She's already outclassing everybody.
Right.
Most people don't have one, but she's got three.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's cool to see that fulfilled. And I would love to hear about that. I'm like, did he come? What did he say? What did Mary say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I have a lot of questions for James. Like, what's it like to discover your brother is actually God? I have a lot of little questions like that. But who would you talk
about to? Sibling rivalry.
No kidding. You know that Jude and James were like, Jesus.
Of course.
Because, you know, they were like, why can't you be more like Jesus? Jesus would never do that. They had to just be like,
Right. Oh, I never thought about it that way. That's so funny, because it's probably, I mean, you got to assume that, like, the humanity is still there at the end of the day. Why can't you be more like Jesus? He's so helpful. Yeah. And he never complains. And he always respects us.
Jesus does all of his chores. Like,
for real. Actually, when I was thinking about how I'd answer this question, I was like, I would love to talk to Mary, but then again, I think I'd want to talk to John more.
Yeah.
But actually, what I would want to ask Mary is, what was your first like hint at all this? Like, I want to hear her story of like her experience of raising Jesus, and maybe she could give me some parenting tips. I'm not a mom, but hopefully, Lord willing, I will be. And I'm like, need some parenting tips or whatever. But also just like her experience of Christ, because she would have been, I mean, like the wedding at Cana, she knew what to do. She went and got him, and knew that he could perform miracles. And I just like, I want to know what the story behind that is. You know, she knew who could solve the problems. I just want to know, what else did she get to witness? And
I so wonder if he had performed, because it says that was his first public miracle.
Yeah.
So it's like, especially them being kind of like on the poorer side.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jesus ever did things, you know, what I mean? To like sustain them, or like, cause she was absolutely confident.
Yeah.
She just told the servants like, do what he says.
Yeah.
Like she had done this before. So it's, there's so many questions.
I know. It's kind of fun. But you know, as I think about it more, and maybe I'm just totally cheating cause I'm picking two, I would want to talk to John. If you haven't checked it out, go check out our book club episodes on 12 Ordinary Men. We went through John MacArthur's book and we talked all about all the different apostles. But one thing we, you know, kind of just reflected on recently is how John was not martyred. He was the longest living of all the apostles. He outlived them and he was considered like really, well, what's the word I'm looking for? He was like the founding father of the church at one point because he was the only one alive that had been with Jesus. So he was, I would just want to talk with him about what it was like to be in, of course, in the presence of Christ, and also what his, we get so much of his insights in his writing, but I would want to ask him about like, how is it in the churches? Like, what is your experience like? I don't know. It sounds silly because I don't have like any one question I would want to ask, but I just would want to talk to him. And I also would want to ask him about Revelation. If there's anything, wow, like if you could go back and rewrite, I know that there, it's not, it wouldn't be changed. It would be perfect, but I would just want to ask him some more questions.
I mentioned like, Paul, but I really, it was really like James and John. I was like, which one would I rather talk to? But I have so many curiosities about like Jesus as like a brother that I'm kind of like like but no, honestly, John may be the best because Revelation is really hard. Yeah, I'm still not settled on which interpretation of Revelation I like best.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It is. Revelation's hard.
It is a hard one. But yeah, I think I'd like to talk to him just because he spent a lot of, obviously, time with Christ. He was the longest living and we get so much good information from his writing. I would just want to have a conversation with him. He seems like a very pleasant, seems like he would have been a very pleasant old man. Everybody said he was just really loving, like a grandpa, I think, like the most loving, like old grandpa guy.
I always imagine him as that too.
Yeah.
He would totally. And one day we'll get to hug because I feel like hugging him. Like in his writing,
yeah,
I feel like he just seems like the kind of person that I would want to hug.
He feels like he's trying to hug us.
Yeah. Yes.
He hugs my spirit. Appreciate that.
Yes.
He just wants to encourage us in the Lord, and that's just awesome. So, do you have anything else?
No, this is awesome.
Do you want me to wrap it up? And with that, beloved, we're going to wrap this episode of Q&A. We're going to wrap it up. But we really appreciate you guys coming by. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. It really helps us with our channel. If you enjoyed this and you want to share it with someone you think it would make them laugh or encourage them today, we ask you to please go ahead and do that. And if you're listening to the podcast, just leave us a review. We really appreciate that. It helps us out a lot. But if you have any questions, also just give us a comment or send us a message on social media. Send us a message on social media and we'll be happy to answer those for you. Who knows, if this, see how this goes, maybe we'll do it again sometime. We'd love to hear from you guys and just answer some questions, whether it's about the Bible or about us. But that's our goal, is always just connect with you guys, be authentic, and we kind of wanted to do something different today. So we hope you enjoyed. But until next time, beloved, take care.